This is a free download from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Recording now, so let's be careful, guys. The microphones are live. Okay, I'll do first one, then you do that one, and then you do that one, and then you do that one. Hello, and welcome to the Ian Lee podcast. Coming up, this.
Derex.
This.
Derex.
And most importantly, this.
Derex.
And this.
Derex.
Just wanted to say
I thought you were going to say this. It's all right.
Oh, no.
Go on then, say this.
This.
Stetson.
But first... This part of the brilliant podcast script was written by Ollie Bayliss, because Kelly Betts, the love of my life, the apple of my eye, the yin to my yang, the wing to my wang, what? Was away. So this bit of the script is not the best. So hang on, which bit did Ollie write? The bit that I'm reading now?
No.
It's not, none of this is scripted.
No.
When do I start reading Ollie's words?
Now.
The only thing from today which was maybe podcast-worthy was Matt Lockwood stopping his two-way to talk about his earwax.
Oh.
It was disgusting. I was retching.
This is when we were all off. Yeah. This is what happened.
Don't all three of you ever take the time off again, guys. That's bad planning.
It's management, boss.
We had fun with Nick Ferrari, though, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh! What are you looking at?
I've got some earwax that's just fallen out of my ear.
Wowzers. I mean, no, your mic's off. We don't need to know that. Don't put it in here or don't put it back in the ear.
I've got no choice.
There's every choice. Hang on a second.
Across beds, hearts and bucks.
Jeez. This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Oh, I'm going to be touching all the equipment now.
Right, what you're going to do is don't...
Do you want to play another song while I just go and, like, wash my hands and get rid of this?
That is horrible.
Have you got another quick track to play?
I've got a long track. Get out.
Yeah, I'm going to come back and just sort this out. Sorry, Ben. This is not acceptable, I know.
Unbelievable. Everyone is addressed to me. Just reminded me, Matt, of something I meant to talk about weeks ago. I say weeks ago, I think I mean last week. When I was at the Beach Boys concert last Saturday. By the way, the music today, I'm going to make you guys work hard. If I got to work, you got to work. Nothing easy about the music this morning. So at the Beach Boys concert, there was an old guy in the front row, right, dressed entirely in red. Crimson, he'd probably call it. It was like in his 60s or 70s. He looked like a lord, right? And he had red strides on.
Beautiful.
Like a pink shirt.
Ooh.
Red waistcoat.
Oh.
Red jacket.
Beautiful.
Red cravat. And like a hat.
God, he'd gone to town.
And he obviously thought he looked smart. He wasn't, you know, he thought he looked smart. He was in the front row at the Beach Boys concert, and I was at the side, and I could see him. I have never seen anybody, until just now, you're the only two people I know, who've clapped but completely missed the beat. We'll get onto the story in a second, don't worry. He completely missed the beat of every single song that he was doing. And you just did the same thing. You just did exactly the same thing.
It was... Da-na-na-na.
Right, so this is... Hang on a second, right. This is what I had at the Royal Albert... This is what I was watching at the Royal Albert Hall the other day, right? So right. This, they're playing this, right? Everyone's going nuts. Perfect. And the guy's going... he's missing every... He's missing every single beat. And you were just doing that then. How is that even humanly possible? The heart is God's metronome.
Now, you've got to be able to hear the music in your head.
Yes.
It's a skill. It's not easy to hear the beat in a song and clap at the same time.
It's easy
it's
to hear
bit
the
like
beat.
Trying to do this. Like, tap your head
you
and
don't
rub your stomach
it?
At
it's
the same time.
It's easy to hear the beat in this. One, two, one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. He's playing the beat on drums and a bass guitar. It's easy.
Yeah. If somebody says it with me, I can do it anyway.
He then went on, he said, continuing to read Ollie's words, and voxed, "What has fallen out of your body?" Fair play, that was classic, just. "I've put part 1, 2, and 3 in Ian's podcast audio." Lockers came in. I've got no idea what was going on. He was about to do a report, a very serious report, about Yarlswood, and he just showed me this big black thing on his finger. I went, "What's that?" He went, "Ooh, well, a bit of earwax has just fallen out of my ear." Oh, it was horrible. Anyway, for some reason, he's recorded this.
"I work at BBC Three Counties Radio. Earlier, some earwax fell out of my ear while I was live on air. It was very embarrassing. I had to go and wash my hands. Has anything fallen out of your body?"
No, nothing like that, nah. Thank God. So, feel sorry for you, mate, but that's life, innit? Just have to soldier on. What time were you on air at?
It was about 6:05 this morning.
What programme are you doing? The breakfast show or something?
Yeah, it was Ian Lee.
Sorry about that. Anyway, I have to run now.
You have to run now, yeah. All right, thank you for your sympathy, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wax regularly falls out of my ears.
How frustrating is that?
It's good, because then you can hear better.
Yeah? When it falls out, is it when you're in social situations?
Probably, yeah. I'm trying to conceal it.
Thank you very much.
You know who that first guy was?
That's old news.
Yeah. Legend.
Bullfish fingers.
Sorry? A lot of this podcast mainly features a feature that we featured this week in our feature slot called Lock Poker. Oh, we got a game. We didn't play this yesterday. Kells.
Hello.
Catherine.
Yeah.
Who's up for a game that we didn't play yesterday?
Yeah.
Thought I haven't got an advantage. I've literally just thought of it. Lock Poker.
Oh.
Who's up for a game of Lock Poker?
Yep.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Go on. Okay. I start. Kelson goes second. Because
mm-hmm.
You know, you can go third, and it goes round. And we each have to come up with a different type of lock.
Okay.
And then when you run out of locks, you're out. Last man standing.
Mm-hmm.
Padlock.
Oh, that was going to be my one. Door lock.
Right. Okay, I'll give you that.
Canal lock.
Yeah!
Oh.
Scottish lock, like in Loch Ness Monster. Good game, isn't it?
I got one.
Oh, Matthew Lockwood, does that count?
Yeah, that counts.
So.
Yeah.
Headlock.
Oh!
Oh, that's a good one. She's good, isn't she?
Hemlock.
Oh.
Mm. You sorry?
That was going to be my next one.
Yeah?
Mm?
It's, you know what hemlock is, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Great, good, okay. Good, you'll go. You're listening to Lock Poker. And don't forget, in the sun, all this week, it's bikini week. It really is. Kelly, over to you. Would you like a little bit of thinking time?
Yes, please.
Okay. It's a good game, isn't it?
It's really good.
Really good game. Lock poker.
I don't know how we're going to ever play again.
Well, no, you can only play this game once, and this is literally the first time I've ever played it.
Oh, I've got one.
Hang on. Go.
Goldilocks.
Oh! Hey! Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Go, Kelly. Mm-hmm. It's a good game.
I'm going to need the thinking music.
Oh, okay, well. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Kelly think so much. Look. I think that's Kelly's poo face. Ooh. Oh. We're stopping the clock.
A locket.
Huh? Oh. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Wait. What type of locket?
One of them necklace ones.
Okay.
What other types of locket are there?
I'll tell you on my go.
She's clever. She's good, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's learned from
or
us.
Or is she? Let's wait till
our little girl's... I'm so proud of her. She's learned our devious ways.
Your turn, Ian.
Okay.
I've got another one.
Well, I'm in China. In the 60s.
Oh, no.
What, you saying I can't have lock and roll? You saying I can't have that?
You can't have that.
Oh, Harro?
What?
2:30.
No.
Okay.
Rubbery, no.
Thank you very much. Oh! Go, Ricky! So, my pub, you're all invited to a lovely lock-in.
Beautiful.
Yes, we have you! Oh, look at Kelly pretending she's taking a phone call.
No, it's right. I put them on hold just to say lockets.
Oh,
which kind of lockets?
Throats are wheats.
Throats are wheats.
Yeah.
She said throats are wheats. Isn't this more fun than it should be? I hope you're having as much fun at home as
we're
having.
Here you go. Yeah. My favourite office prank.
Yeah.
Caps lock.
Oh!
Yay.
She played dirty! Okay, I need to have a little bit of thinking music now. Hang on a second. What did we say yesterday when we played this? What? Nothing. She's music. What did I say yesterday?
But you didn't get this far with them.
No, didn't at all. Plums. Rastafarian with me dreadlock.
Hey!
Thanks, Chrissy. Shh. Ooh. Kels, your turn. Oh, we can take a little breakette for...
Nope.
No, we can't, because line six is not lit up. OK.
Numlock.
You mean numeric?
Sure.
I like... Kelly, you really bright on up my day.
I need the music.
I tell you what we can have. We can have a little travel break. Good game, huh?
Travel news.
Hi, guys. We're playing Lock Poker. Well, you have to name as many different locks as you can. Kelly, you had the last go. Just remind us what you ended on. You don't remember, do you?
Yeah, numlock.
She means numeric.
Lock. I would have said number lock.
I think it's numeric.
Don't matter.
Well, I mean, it just says numlock on
num,
right.
Birdie num-nums. Yeah. OK, Catherine, it's your turn. You were struggling before, but
and
you
then
think
Sammy
you've got
Brough
one.
Inspired me.
Here we go.
Total gridlock.
No! Yeah! Well, the thing is, guys, I hate to break it to you, but there's an incident at a non-specific airport. There isn't really, guys, but there is for the purpose of this lock. We believe that there are some very naughty people running around with things they shouldn't have, and so we're having to basically shut all the doors. This airport is under lockdown!
Yay!
Boom!
You pushed the plunger.
Oh, gosh, I did. I didn't. Honestly, and there are literally no plungers at any of the local airports. I don't think. I mean, you just can't tell these days. Kelly Betts.
So we're playing rugby.
Mm. Oh, she's been Googling.
No.
You don't know
She
rugby.
Wouldn't Google. I trust this girl. I trust this girl. She brightens up my day.
I sit next to this girl every day. I know how she works.
There's different positions.
Oh, aren't there?
Including locks. It's true.
Is that actually a position?
Yes.
All right, fair play. I'm going to give her one.
Okay.
When?
It's my birthday. I'll decide.
Okay. So, we're going into space with the last humans alive.
Oh, God. It's terrifying.
Before we go, we need to decompress. We go through the airlock.
Oh!
You like that?
Yeah, I do like that. And I just don't know how I'm going to beat that. Oh, yeah, I do. With this one. It's the 1970s. It's the 1970s. I'm a young man. Never had a girlfriend, but I've got feelings. Of course I have. It's biology. You can't argue with that stuff. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to have to think of someone. Who? Oh, only 70s pin-up Heather Locklear. Boom!
She was 80s, if not 90s.
I don't really know who she is.
Yeah.
I don't really know who she is.
She was married to Richie Sambora.
Oh, Richie Sambora.
I've got Ian's phone.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm trying to hack into it.
Oh.
Of course you are.
Can't. Phone lock.
Oh!
Oh, come on, that counts.
It's more of a password lock, no?
Password lock.
Phone lock?
Yeah, it's never. Your phone's locked.
I've never heard the word phone lock before. Hang on a second. Shags!
Yeah.
Shags.
Yeah.
Shags.
Yeah.
Shags.
Yeah.
Shags.
Yeah.
Shags.
Yeah.
Shags. Shags.
Huh?
Would you allow phone lock?
Yeah.
Fair play. It's in.
It's too nice.
Thanks,
it's in. The walking internet says yes.
Right.
Yeah. We'll have a coffee, Shags.
Yeah. Is it my go now?
Yes, mate.
Right.
We didn't play this yesterday, did we?
No, totally not.
It's the '80s.
Yeah.
One of the main crimes for bored teenagers.
Ooh.
A little bit of joyriding.
Yeah.
How'd you prevent that happening for your Ford Fiesta?
We didn't have this one yesterday, did we?
Didn't.
Crook lock.
We couldn't have it yesterday because we didn't play it.
Crook lock.
Crook lock.
Crook lock.
Okay, well...
Crook lock.
The thing is, right, I can't afford a crook lock. I'm on the dole.
I'll buy you one.
No, I don't want you to buy me one. I'm on the dole. I can't afford a crook lock. I'm on the dole. I can afford my tabs.
Why are you doing
And I can afford me squareal.
Wow.
I can afford my tabs and I can afford my squareal. I can't afford a crop lock, but I've got a car, but it doesn't matter because my car has got an automatic steering lock on it.
You're starting to sound a lot like my uncle's.
I know. I've got a steering lock.
Let's sort of another one.
This is so much fun. Isn't this the best game ever? We're playing lock poker. If you want to, by the way, guys, 08459 455555. If you want to jump in, this
but
is.
But don't tweet him because he's cheating.
No, don't tweet. Well, if you want to jump in and play a joker for someone, so maybe you want to help Kelly Betts out, you've got one. Maybe you want to help Catherine Boyle out. Maybe you want to help me out. Hi, I'm Ian Lee. I'm the governor. you can phone up 08459 455555. You nominate a player and you do their go for them. That's how we're making this interactive.
I've broken down the side of the road.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry to hear that.
I know. My tyre's blown out.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to try and change it.
A blowout on the motorway.
Locking wheel nut.
Sorry?
Locking wheel nut.
Don't swear. Locking wheel nut. Yeah, I'll give her that. I'll give her that one. Pressure's on you now, Kath.
I need the music.
Someone's calling in, so they might be about to nominate you. Let's see. Let's see. Who are they going to nominate? They can nominate any player they want.
They are.
This is the BBC. You wouldn't get this on Coventry and Warwickshire. Here we go. Oh,
yes!
Okay, go. Okay, wouldn't it be funny if we got the same one at the same time?
Right. Okay.
Okay then, boss.
You've been having a really good time over the weekend.
I have.
A really good time.
Damn, they're large.
You've been meeting some old friends. You've had a little bit of a chat. You've had a lot of a chat.
Yeah.
You've had so much chat that now you have.
Oh.
Lockjaw.
Oh, yeah, that's delicious. I want to just rub that one all over me. That is so delicious. I want to see Kelly's talking. Kelly, have you got someone who wants to play?
Ray wants to help me out.
Okay, is Ray on the line?
No, he doesn't want to come on.
Oh, Ray!
He just wants to help you out. I don't think that's an offer for the game.
Ray Mondo.
I'm not sure what he's saying exists.
Okay, well, it's my go.
Okay. Do you want what he's saying?
No, because I've got one, mate.
All right.
Oh, no, well, no, I've got one.
If you choose to play Ray's suggestion and it's wrong, you're out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's,
just a warning.
I'm not going to play it.
So, I know these guys. They live in the woods. And just, they went out. There's a family, a mummy and a daddy and a little baby.
Are they bears?
Yeah, they're bears.
Have I already said this one, mate?
Yeah.
Oh, no! Rewind!
Anyway, another story.
Let me think about it. That really, really balls things up. Hang on. Let me just think about it. Hang on. It carried on for the next half an hour.
Room noise.
Thank you. So, my turn, my go. It's tricky, it's tough. It really is a hard case to crack. But the answer is elementary, dear Watson.
Oh, no, you can't.
Sherlock! Holmes. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Simon's on the line. Morning, Simon.
Morning.
Would you like to nominate a player?
I would, yes.
Who would you like to nominate? You're nominating Kelly. It's Kelly's turn now. Kelly, Simon is nominating you.
Sup, player.
Now you have to, without knowing what he's going to say whether you're going to play his suggestion or go it alone.
Yeah, are you going to play Simon or are you going to play with yourself? So childish. I'm really sorry.
Simon, have you been listening to the whole entire thing?
Not the whole entire thing, but I doubt very much this one has been said, because it would probably be a bit too technical.
Oh, he's a boffin! We've got scientists listening to us. My mum will be so proud.
Do you know what? I'm going to go play it, Simon. Play it.
OK, then. Matchlock.
Sweet. We haven't had that, have we?
Well, but what does it mean, Simon?
Matchlock is a firing mechanism for a musket.
He's right.
Beautiful.
Which stopped you using the taper to light it.
Ever shot a man, Simon?
Yeah.
Wow. Heck.
That escalated, didn't it?
It took a dark turn, didn't it? We won't go any further, Simon. But Simon is calling us whilst on the run. Excellent stuff. You're through, Kelly. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Yvonne?
Yes?
Who would you like to nominate?
Catherine.
Oh, Catherine. Well, you know the rules. Are you going to, without hearing it, are you going to go with Yvonne or are you going to play with yourself?
Can I ask the question? Yvonne, have you heard the whole thing?
Most of it, yeah.
How confident are you feeling?
Fairly confident.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to trust Yvonne.
Here we go, Yvonne. What's your lock in lock poker? Lock poker?
Well, we're going down the motorway, and all of a sudden you come to a gridlock.
Oh,
Yvonne! You obviously weren't listening to all of it. I'm afraid Catherine Boyle is out, Yvonne.
Oh, no!
Thanks for playing. I like the way you told the story, and I like the way you got Catherine out. Boyle, you all right, mate? You all right, Boyles?
If you're a listener, what would do it?
She's out of the game.
It carried on for the next hour. I'll be honest, it went on for the whole show. And then it went on, people tried to carry it on for the next two shows.
And today we got some as well.
Oh, man alive. Lock poker.
Now, we've got two people that want to help. We've got Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Hello.
And we've got Kate.
Morning.
Now, Catherine, you can only pick...
No, I'm making
this up off the hoof. I don't know if you know. You can only pick one of either Steve or Kate to help you. If their word that they give us is invalid, i.e. it's been used before or it's made up, then you are actually dead. You'd have to take off a piece of clothing.
Can we pitch for her to choose?
Yeah. Oh, please do. Yeah. Kate, and you pitch first.
I have got a quadruple whammy for you. It will bring you back in the game with a bang.
Oh, you're tickling my fancy, Kate.
She is. I can see her fancy and it's been tickled.
Steve, what have you got to offer me?
Just trust a man to get the job done, Kath.
Oh, I like that kind. You know that sexism always works really well with me.
That's going to go down well, Steve! Catherine, who are you going to choose, Steve or Kate?
Of course I'm going to go for the quadruple offering from Kate.
OK, Steve, stay there because we might still use your services.
Don't let me down, Kate.
Kate, what have you got?
Well, being a horsey girl myself, I have horses, of course, the obvious choice was Saw Lock.
Oh!
Back in the game.
Catherine is back. Kate, excellent work indeed. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
The Forelock. We've got a celebrity coming up for the next time around who wants... let's bring him into the game. Ladies and gentlemen, it's local councillor. It's Tom Shaw. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Ian.
Tom, have you not got anything better to do, mate?
On the way to work, mate.
Now, it's me you want to help, is it?
Yeah, why not?
No, it wasn't. It was me.
No.
But I'll let you have him.
No, right. Who do you want to play? It's Kelly's turn now, Tom Shaw. Who would you like to play with?
Kelly, she's the best looking of all.
Isn't she just? Isn't she just?
She is, fair
she
play.
Is. She is hot. Okay, Kelly, it's Tom Shaw. He's a local councillor. He's a firebrand. He's a little bit feisty. He's always honest and direct when he chooses to come on. Mm. Now... Are you going to go with Tom Shaw, or are you not?
I've got my own one.
Oh, Tom! All right, Tom, stay on the line, because someone will play with you, I promise. Kelly, what's yours?
Clock.
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, scroll lock.
Well, we've got to accept your first answer.
You're out of the game.
Oh, come on, clock's funny.
Clock doesn't clock. Go... Right, you're out of the game, but I'm going to allow Tom Shaw, local dignitary, and...
If he chooses to, after your ungrateful attitude, frankly.
Tom, would you like to reanimate Kelly Betts?
You can't see, but I just winked at you.
OK, he's saying yes. Tom, what lock would you like to throw down on the lock poker table to help bring Kelly back in the game?
Lockerbie.
Oh, controversial!
You had to
indeed.
Mention Lockerbie.
It's valid. We're all a little bit speechless, but of course Lockerbie is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Absolutely,
a beautiful place tainted by tragedy. But let's not forget that it's a wonderful place. Tom, what's on the council table today? Tom, what are you sorting out?
Housing.
Good luck. Tom, you're a good sport. Thank you for calling in. Oh, mate, you missed PE.
I know.
Were gutted.
Do you know what? I'm glad. Last week, I kind of heard a rumour he was coming in this week, and I'm glad that I wasn't here for it.
Well, guess what?
Go on.
He's going to come back in.
Yeah,
you're taking him to the streets of Dunsmore.
I've seen the videos of what he did, and you know what? I was away on the holiday, and for the whole day, I was sitting on the beach, and he completely messed with my mind.
Yeah, he was amazing, wasn't he?
And do you know what? He came in a taxi. How did he come in a taxi? Because he can make 20 quid.
Good point.
And I gave him a few quid as well.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, anyway, he was brilliant, and he came in and did this.
This is more of a sort of warm up one. It's like a psychological thing, a sort of Derren Brownie kind of thing. So basically, what that means is that it might not work. But basically,
if it doesn't work, we will think less of you.
Of course. Well, that's kind of how these things work, isn't it? But basically, I have here.
Oh, I'm nervous. He's
got some maths. No.
I have here a die or a dice. If you're wrong, English degree. All I got out of it was that joke. Right, I have here a die. So we've got basically six different numbers. I'm going to give that to you, Catherine. Yeah. There you go. In fact, just for the listeners, that's a dice rolling or a die.
It's quite a big die, yes.
So basically, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get you to put it in your hand with any number on top. So say if you did that, you'd be choosing six. But whatever. I'm going to turn away so that I can't see what you're going. Hold on, wait. Don't do it yet because I'm still looking. But so you put it in your hand with one number on top. You're going to then cover it with your other hand. You can let Ian see it. Okay. Just don't let me see it. Okay. So when I turn back, you're here like this, so I can't see through your hands and can't see what you've gone for. Okay. I'm going to turn away.
He's turned away. Okay. He's turned away. Okay. She's showing me the number. She's put it up. Okay. Right. You can turn back now, Pete.
Okay. So you covered it up.
Yeah. It's covered.
Now the listeners who are listening online will be able to go back and verify this to check. I was hopefully influencing you with what I was saying. The last thing I said before I turned away was, "Let me know when you've got one." And I said one at the end of the sentence. Hopefully that would have made you choose a number one. Is that right?
Yeah.
You remember one? Brilliant. Okay. Cool.
That's such a dope.
Kelly, come in. Kelly, come and watch this.
And yeah, that sounds like nonsense. Like, how could that possibly have worked? But you can just check. You can listen back. You can check.
Yeah, she did have the number one, guys.
Okay.
Kelly's coming in to verify this.
Okay.
Come in.
Now, but maybe that's just luck. Maybe everyone goes for one the first time for some weird reason. All right. So, I mean, they don't, but maybe they do. Okay. So I'm going to turn away. We're going to try that again. All right.
Yeah, okay. He's turned away. He cannot see.
We're doing it a bit differently this time. I'm not looking.
Can she show us the number?
Yep, sure.
Okay, she's showing us the number. You see that, Kelly? Okay, he's not looking. He cannot see.
Okay, can I turn back?
Yes, you can.
All right, okay, and there's no way I can see that, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to... The listeners can play along here as well. I'm going to ask you, is it one, is it two, and so on, up to six. Each time, I want you to say no.
Okay.
I feel so nervous.
Now, one of these times, you're going to be lying, obviously, because it is one of the numbers, I'm assuming, unless something really weird's happened. But no, so I'm going to... So you know what you got to do. You just got to say no each time. Okay, so is it one?
No.
Is it two?
No.
Is it three?
No.
Is it four?
No.
Is it five?
No.
Is it six?
No.
Okay, now, based on that, I think when I got to three, there was a sort of slight more of a smile than before and a little pause. Hopefully, did you go for three?
Yes.
That's just nuts, man.
All right, okay, so that's twice. If I can do it three times in a row, I'm going to consider myself a lanky genius. All right, so one more time, we'll do it a bit differently again.
She's showing us the number. Okay, we've got the number. He cannot see. He's turned away.
Okay, go.
Okay, cool. Now, I'm not looking. I didn't say anything this time, right? And I kept gesturing, saying, "I'm not looking." Can you see what my hand's doing, Ian?
Absolutely.
Can you describe what my hand's doing?
He's got his hand up so I can see five fingers.
I'm gesturing, saying I'm not looking, but I'm holding up a big number five with my hand in to cover the die. Did you go for five? Is that right? Brilliant. Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Okay, cool.
So that's three in a row.
If only Dealey was here, that would crucify him. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
How did you do that?
Magic.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I was actually telling you how I did it all along.
That's incredible. Kyle. Oh, it's your fancy man. Oh, Kyle and Kath sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Yeah, what of it?
Yeah, what? Kyle, are you there, mate? Or have you dropped off again?
No, morning, boss.
Yeah, all right. I'll tell you what. I'll let you and your mank girlfriend get on with it. Me and Kels will keep out of this. The Cockneys are keeping quiet.
What have you got for me, Kyle?
Well, I've got one. Is it
battered sausage?
Unbelievable.
Don't be crude.
Have you got battered sausage for me? Hey, Kyle, it's Tuesday. Have you got battered sausage for me, love?
Don't be jealous.
I want your battered sausage.
What Kyle and I have is beautiful and pure.
I know, it's beautiful battered sausage.
There's no sausage involved.
Kyle, give us your battered sausage, love. Go on and I'll do wash it for you, throat mangle.
Ignore him, he's just bitter because it's his birthday. No one's remembered. Right.
All right. But battered sausage for birthday. Hey, don't worry, not got birthday kit, but I've got battered sausage with candle on. That'll do. Right, Carl, give us your battered sausage for battered sausage, pork. Yeah.
Do you want battered sausage, Ian, for your birthday?
He'd love one. He would love one. Oh, yeah. Kyle, go on.
Right, OK, so the one that I had, actually, is centred around one of your presenters. Now, I'm not sure whether it meets the rules or not.
Well, the rules are very flimsy. And it's right, you, well, Kyle. So.
Well, I've got in my head, like, I'm in Batley.
Yep.
I'm thinking Alan Bennett and Thora Heard. Yeah, and then one of your, reporters is there.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I'm having a lovely, lovely macaroon. Thanks, Thora. And it is, of course, Matt Lockwood.
Yes. The Lockwood.
Matt Lockwood.
Lockwood. Yeah.
I said that.
Oh.
Send me some battered sausage. You should not got battered sausage. This is battered barn cake. Take this back to shop, Carl, and get money back or you're sleeping out in the doghouse tonight, our lads.
Ian, leave this to me. Kyle. It's not me, it's you. We're done.
What have you got for us, shouty Chris?
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, 1960s, David Lockhart.
We certainly have not had that.
We've certainly not had Lockhart, no. Chris, you are the last player on today's, and player's going to play. You win the last 20 seconds of the show, Chris. Over to you.
Welcome to BBC Radio Three Counties, and this is the Chris's 20 seconds of the show, and I'm listening all week, yeah!
Well, some might say that she wasted 8 of those 20 seconds, but you never know. OK, this is a serious one. Kath, can you do a serious one?
All right. Right, on what
Don't
day
Don't start it with right.
Hang on, I'm just trying to set my brain in the right mode. Okay. What day is it today? Thursday, right. On Wednesday, we spoke to a gentleman called Kevin Lane, originally from Bedfordshire. He'd spent 20 years in prison for a murder he says he didn't commit. He's going to the Court of Appeal. He's going to try and get his sentence quashed. Here's what happened.
So your claim is that you didn't do it and there was corruption and we know that there was a corrupt copper involved.
Yeah.
How come over the past 20 years then, you say you've got all this evidence that you hadn't been... Because you've not been released, have you? You've been let out on... What's the phrase?
Parole.
You've been let out on licence. So
I'm on parole, yeah.
OK. So you're still effectively, in the eyes of the law, Kevin... Listen, Kevin, you're still effectively, in the eyes of the law, guilty of that murder. How come in the last 20 years, your legal team... weren't able to bring any of this evidence to an appeal?
Well, I went to the Criminal Cases Review Commission, which is the commission was set up to investigate such matters. However, it's amazing how you can be arrested and taken to trial in 6 months, yet investigations to release you can take up to nearly 4 years, which was almost the case of my last investigation. I found out that during one of my investigations at the CCRC, that the Chief Constable of Police of Hertfordshire Police, who was in office at the time of my arrest, was one of the 14 commissioners. And they wrote to me and they said, thank you for your representations. They're very well argued, very well put together. If we didn't think there was some prospect of referring your case back to the Court of Appeal, we would have closed it by now. We intend to have a meeting in the next 2 weeks and discuss how we're taking your case forward. 20 days later, I received a letter and they shut my case. So I made some investigations of my own and I found out what I've just told you about the Chief Constable of Police.
Why did they...
And hold on, and the CCRC wrote back to me and they said it was inevitable that staff within the CCRC knew the police involved in your case or knew someone who knew them.
So you're suggesting...
What charge do you stand?
You're suggesting...
Oh, it's factual.
No, Kevin, please let me finish the sentence, mate. You don't know what my question's going to be. You're suggesting... that your case never went to appeal because of corruption in the police force?
I am, yes.
Okie dokie. And your solicitor's been working on this the last 20 years?
Yeah, I'll give you one more part in, and this is factual, OK, as well.
In your opinion?
No, it's factual. We've got it in writing.
OK,
it's not
well,
my opinion.
Well, I've not seen any of this in writing, but go on.
Well, I'm telling you it's factual.
Well, okay, Kevin, I don't know if you've been in prison for 20 years or not. I don't know if you're telling
Ian,
the truth
I wouldn't
or not.
Be a fool to state such things over the phone on air.
Well,
please be with me.
Well,
bear with me on
well,
this.
Well, no, Kevin, Kevin.
Well, I'm telling you it's factual.
Yeah, I know you're telling me it's factual, mate. That won't cover me if I get hauled up for libel, so just be careful, please.
Oh, no problem. Well, I received a letter... this is fact from the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal instructed
Yeah, I don't, Kevin, I've not seen any of these documents,
no
all right?
No problem. All right,
just
well,
be really can... careful, because it will be
no
me
problem.
That gets hauled up in front of court for being libelous. So just,
right.
You know, please, when I'm being cautious, understand I'm covering your backside, I'm covering the BBC's backside. More importantly, I'm covering mine, OK?
OK.
Away you go.
OK. The Court of Appeal instructed an investigation into some anonymous documents that were sent to my solicitor. Part of that investigation was an undercover operation to go to the files that they came from. We didn't know about the undercover operation. However, my solicitor received a phone call from an anonymous source and said those files, that the documents came out of, were being searched by undercover police officers. We went directly to the Court of Appeal, who subsequently confirmed that there was an undercover operation, OK? The police officers that was investigating them were of higher echelons within the Hertfordshire Police. 20 days after they'd been into those files, they wrote back to the court in writing and said there was a conflict of interest because the officer they were investigating, which was a corrupt police officer, was a former colleague of theirs. And one of them had been tutored by him for 2 years.
No one's denying.
This is fact. So what happened was...
No one's denying, Kevin. I'm going to interrupt because we're going off and I don't... No one's denying that there was a corrupt police officer involved in this.
You shouldn't have their colleagues investigating them. It should be an independent police force.
Well, that's by the by.
Really? Okay. Fair comment. You're welcome to your comment. By the by, it should have been an independent police officer. Police force. Not a former colleague.
No one is denying, Kevin. By the way, can I make a suggestion?
You can, certainly.
Thank you very much. I would just suggest... What are you going to the High Court today?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The attitude of me, I don't mind at all. I would tone the attitude down a little bit in court, but you probably know that.
I might equally say the same to you, Ian, because you come across a little bit bolshy and quite...
Kevin,
you don't come across quite as laid back as you, and I thought you might do, as other presenters have been.
No, exactly. You thought I'd be going, hey, you never committed this. What a terrible injustice. I don't know, Kevin. I don't know.
Just
I'm
questioning
you. Your question
comes across a little bit more aggressive than what you thought
good.
You might have been.
Thank you very much. I take that as a compliment.
Good.
You're welcome. This is going well. I'm just suggesting, Kevin, that when you're in court, that just, you know, that attitude isn't going to help you. But you'll know that. You've probably been advised that.
I won't be giving evidence at court.
OK, well, I think that'll probably, you know, do you the world of good. Listen, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you taking a robust question. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I've got no idea. And if you're innocent and you've served 20 years, then, man alive, I hope you get well rewarded and I hope you get paraded around the town as being, you know, an injustice by our legal system. I really, really do.
Ian, might I just say, if you were to place yourself in my position, OK, imagine how you would feel every time someone comes across and hits you with those questions, because the frustrations of 20 years, it's inevitable that it's going to come out.
And I understand
I don't mean to come across that, but from my position, you know, I've had to suffer this for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, my family have suffered it, my friends and my supporters. So sometimes it is difficult to answer questions. I apologise to you if I've come across like that, but equally, I do feel, you know, you have to give you some tough questions, but I feel like, you know, it could have been a little bit easier on both of us.
It could have been, Kevin, but that's not my job, mate.
No, you can ask the questions, but how you ask them at times, you know, you're not a barrister. Okay. That's all.
No. I know, but Kevin, all right, listen, I appreciate that. If you are indeed innocent, then, of course, you must be incredibly frustrated. And I, if you are innocent, I wish you the very, very best of luck, and I hope it all goes your way.
Thank you very much.
Over 1,000 miles away.
Keep going.
Yeah, let's do this.
That's it.
Can they overcome 6 weeks of hair-raising challenges?
I can't do it.
And will their partner back home keep them in the competition?
Are you feeling pressure? Just a tad.
They're prized apart.
But in it together. Prized Apart begins this Saturday night from 7 on BBC One and BBC One.
What
HD.
That is that's one of those shows where they thought of the title, then worked backwards. What about a show called Prized Apart? I bet it's spelt P-R-I-Z-E-E-D. Prized Apart. Well, OK, it's a great idea, a great title. What do we do with it? Well, they win prizes. Couples. And they're apart. OK, what do you mean? One's on different side of the studio. No, different town. I'm liking it. Think bigger. 1,000 miles away. You just got yourself 20 episodes primetime Saturday night.
I've got one. Separated at birth.
Hey!
You get a couple who can't stand each other anymore. They're separated.
At birth?
You put them on a cruise ship, right?
Yeah.
They have to share a bunk. It's called a birth.
I got one.
And you watch the fireworks.
Separated. You're not allowed fireworks on the boat, mate. Separated at birth, OK?
Oh.
It's a couple. She's pregnant. They fall out the week that she's due to pop it out. They are separated at birth.
And then he has to guess which one's his child.
Boom, you've got it.
No,
and
I
if he selects successfully, yep. Then he gets to
this
go back
great.
With her.
OK, here's another one.
It's got to be called Separated at Birth.
OK. Separated at birth.
Hello,
here we go. Separated at birth.
Here we go, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Have you got an idea for a show called Separated at Birth? 08459455555. We're the BBC. We can make dreams come true.
You tell a couple they've won a luxury holiday.
Yeah.
We're back on the cruise ship. Look, I've already paid for the cruise ship. I booked it. We're going to use it. You tell them they're going on a luxury holiday.
I know where this is going. I love it.
They're really lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
He's the really nice husband that you hate because he's not as good as yours, right? So
I'm not married to that guy anymore.
All right, so she's the perfect wife.
I hated him.
Yeah. Anyway.
It wasn't legal when we
got
married.
They're like really kind of...
Yeah.
Anyway, they're soup-makingly happy, this couple.
Yeah.
We ruin their lives. Okay. We put them on the ship. There's not enough room for both of them.
Yeah.
Which one goes on the trip?
I like it.
He has to decide.
Here's my idea for a show. It's called Separated at Birth.
Okay.
Good title.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, Kelly. Okay.
One really clever came up with that.
So what it is a couple get a family. Let's involve kids. A family is given what they believe is going to be a luxury holiday, right? Why? It's like proper family with a mum and a dad and two kids.
They like
and girl.
Each other.
Proper. It's a proper family. None of this nonsense. Right. It's called Separated at Birth. They are given what they think is going to be a luxury holiday.
Yeah.
They turn up. All they've got is it's a caravan site where I believe that where the caravans are pitched, I think they're called berths. I'm hoping so. Otherwise, yes, they're called berths.
No,
just pretend.
They are. No, we don't need to pretend, mate, because they're called berths. Where
saying it over and over doesn't make it so.
Can I get a caravaner on the line, please? Because a caravan, you park a caravan in a caravan berth.
No.
Where do you think you park it?
In a plot.
A plot? You're thinking of Agatha Christie.
Go on, anyway.
No, well,
what happens to this family?
I don't know. They've either got to build a caravan, or when they get there, they're told that half of them are going on a luxury holiday, half of them got to stay in a rubbish caravan, and the youngest kid decides who he loves the most, his mum or his dad.
Here's the other one. Separated at Mirth.
That doesn't fit into the criteria.
On.
We're not doing puns.
With the success of Separated at Birth, they're going to want something else. Separated at Mirth, right?
At Tidville.
Husband and wife.
So, just say the title again, because I'm being funny.
Separated at Mirth.
At Tidville. It's a place in Wales.
Yeah.
That's my show.
It doesn't have to be there.
You can't have that.
Right. Anyway, they're really happy. Or so they think, because the husband's about to play a massive trick on her.
Yeah.
That's going to lead to mirth for some.
Yeah.
And mirth for others.
And death for others.
Yeah.
Mirth or mirth. Kelly.
I've got an idea.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called Separated at Birth.
I like that title.
Yeah. It's a couple of babies who are, like, torn apart and their limbs are all swapped.
Whoa!
So
stop!
You've got, so you've got, like, a small little baby with giant hands. And then you just swap all their parts about.
Do you want to do the on-air apology, Kath? You probably should.
No babies have been hurt in the making of this idea, but Kelly will be.
Thanks very much indeed. I'm losing the will to live, Jake, so...
I've got an idea for a TV show.
Yeah, what's it called?
Separated at Birth.
I like the title. What happens in it?
Well, you're following the lives of 101 Dalmatians that are separated at birth.
When's it on?
No idea.
Oh, well, I can't set my Sky Plus, because that's... How long does this series run for?
101 days.
I'm in! Thank you, Jake! Oh, by the way, dinosaurs, what's the point? I mean, come on, that is just... Come
well
on,
done, Evolution, well done.
Great to have you back, Joss.
Well, the thing is, you know, when it comes to dinosaurs, I need to see them in front of me to believe. You know, all I've seen all my life is cartoons and Jurassic Park. I need
cartoons.
To see to believe.
But hang on a minute. So are you saying you don't believe in dinosaurs?
I'm just saying. No, I'm saying I do believe, but it's... I don't know. It's like talking about... It's like saying...
Yeah.
It's like having an opinion on a country that you've never been to.
All right, hang on a minute. You believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
Both.
And I've seen ghosts.
Not the film?
No, not the film, but I have had spooky experiences.
Not Casper.
Not Casper, no. but spooky things have happened to me. I've never seen a dinosaur.
How do you know the spooky things happening to you aren't actually dinosaurs?
Well, dinosaur ghosts.
Oh, good point, well made.
Have a listen to this. Justin, dinosaurs. There's a new Jurassic Park film out. I was asked to go on an ITV Talking Heads show to talk about Jurassic Park. I said, I'm going to stop you there. Great pitch. Thanks very much. I've never seen a Jurassic Park film. The people, they said, what? I've never seen one. They said, we can give you the films on DVD. I said, I don't want to watch them. Why? Dinosaurs are boring.
And a waste of time.
They're such a waste of time.
Well, I've been on the streets already this morning. The vibe is strong out there. Are dinosaurs a waste of time? Here's what happened. Sir, dinosaurs... A waste of time?
Interesting topic, but you can discuss.
Yep, interesting topic, let's discuss. Dinosaurs, waste of time?
for a while we can discuss.
It's not. Yeah, let's discuss. So, dinosaurs, waste of time?
No, it's not waste of time.
Who's your favourite dinosaur?
T-Rex.
Jamie, how old are you?
I'm seven.
Jamie, dinosaurs. The boss back in the studio says they're a complete and utter waste of time. What do you think?
Nah.
Who's your favourite dinosaur?
My favourite dinosaur is a T-Rex.
What's so good about T-Rex?
Because they have so many teeth. That's the best bit.
That's a great answer. Thanks for your time. How are you, Governor? Lovely beard.
I'm all right, thanks.
Good stuff. Dinosaurs, are they a complete and utter waste of time?
All depends on your opinion.
What's some your opinion?
Some people think they were real, some people don't think they were real.
What do you think, real or fake? Put it out there.
Well, they found dinosaur skeletons, so they must be real.
OK. Apart from T-Rex, who's your favourite dinosaur?
One with a great big scale on its back. I'm forgetting which one that is now. Scaly back.
That sounds like one of my ex-girlfriends.
Sounds like one of mine and all.
We'll leave it there. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the very best call of the week.
Best call of the week.
Oh, no, mate.
Unless someone comes on Friday.
They won't.
Good morning. How are you, Ian?
I'm all right, thank you. What have you got for us?
Well, it was me that sent in the text about Keith Moon.
Did you go to school with Mooney?
I went to two schools with him. I went to Barham, which was our primary school.
Yes.
And then he moved to Alfton Secondary Modern.
Yeah.
And then he moved from there to Harrow Technical College.
Guys, can we just cancel the rest of the show? I'm talking to Mark about his Keith Moon memories, OK? So how old would you have been, Mark, when you were with him?
Well, from the age of 6 right through to 16.
Fantastic.
So he knows all.
I mean, he did. He used to be in the local Wembley Sea Cadet Corps. He was a bugler.
Yeah.
He did play for a couple of bands before he played for the Who. I can't remember their names.
He was in a surf band, wasn't he? He used to love surf music.
He did.
He was a big fan of the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean.
That's correct.
And so did you hang out with him, Mark?
Yeah, he was crazy.
What was he? Now, listen, because no, was he crazy even then, or was it a bit of a put-on when he became a rock star?
He was at... Keith, they were a lovely family. He had quite a few brothers and sisters,
yeah.
But he was an absolute—he was a nutcase.
Yeah,
from early days.
And was it a bit tired? Because when I was a young man, right, the whole Keith Moon story used to fascinate me. So I think, oh, brilliant, driving a Rolls Royce into a swimming pool. There's a very famous story of him being like in the 30th floor of a hotel room. And everyone's going, whatever it was they were doing. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, where's Keith? Where's Keith? Keith, has anyone seen where Keith's gone? And he looked out the window and he was just stood out there holding on to the ledge like in a movie. And as a young man, I found that very exciting. As I get older, I think, oh, that would have just worn me out.
It'd been tiresome,
It would have been, oh, Keith, please, go to bed.
No, I mean, he was quite disruptive at school, put it that way.
Really? He was one of the naughty boys. And did you ever see him when he became, like, proper famous?
I never went to any of his concerts, but I did meet him probably when the Who were at their top. His mother and father still lived in Chaplin Road in Wembley.
Yeah.
And he was with his wife, and I can't remember what her name was, although I think he got married... I know he got married and had a child, but I can't remember her name.
I can't remember her name either. And it's sad.
It was sad. But he was very—he was what would be described today as a hyperactive child.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, of course he would. There would be a label for it.
Yeah.
Mark, listen, best call of the day, mate. You've won a gold star. You can come on any time you want.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah, isn't that exciting?
Oh, hey, I'm adding another bit in of the J. McDonald's oyster.
Let's listen to it now.
Oh, OK.
Celebrities eating. When have you seen a celebrity when you or they have been eating? We've got a full, and thank you, Kelly Betts, for this, a full menu. Let's go. Catherine, can we go through the menu, please? The four members of The Who, what were they eating?
Oh, God, I don't know. I've not written it down.
Pete Townsend, ham, egg and chips.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Keith
and
Moon.
Very deep.
Keith Moon, school dinners. Roger Daltrey.
Dundee Cake.
And John Entwistle, a pint and a pie. Ladies Lovely. And gentlemen, it's the Who. I don't know why that makes me laugh so much. I mean, it does.
But the food befits the character,
doesn't it? Doesn't it just? Cyril's on the line. Morning, Cyril.
Morning to you.
What have you got for us, Cyril?
Well, I've met the Who twice before and after a gig, but I've also met John Entwistle by himself at my mate's house. My mate always said that it was his cousin. And I thought, well, yeah, okay, yes, his cousin, you know, yeah. Carry on, mate. And then was round his house one lunchtime, and this Rolls Royce turned up, and out come John Entwistle, walked into his house, and you know, said, "Hi, Nigel." And I was just like shocked at it all, like. And he sat down, he had a cup of tea and a cheese and onion sandwich.
John Entwistle loves the sandwiches.
Yeah, cheese and onion sandwich. The other time was in the Civic Hall Dunstable,
yes.
Before their gig back in 1971.
Oh, yeah.
And I did not realise. It was them at first. I mean, I've seen The Who 27 times myself.
All right, mate, calm down. And, blimey. Yeah.
Well, they're the best. They're the best. And they were all there having drinks and everything, and I went up and chatted to them, and I ended up having a couple of pints with them.
Yeah.
Where they were eating cheese and onion crisps and lager.
What's their obsession with cheese and onion? And
no,
lager?
No.
Hey,
no.
Cyril, did you see The Who? They did Quadrophenia as part of the Teenage Cancer Trust concerts about 6 years ago at the Royal Albert Hall. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see one. I saw The Who just a couple of months ago at the O2.
I tell you what, Cyril. The young gentleman that got to introduce The Who on stage.
Mm.
Yeah, that was me! I got to start. This is brilliant. I got to. Because you worked at another radio station that worked with Roger on the Teenage Cancer Trust concerts. And they're always trying to get me to go and introduce bands, like rubbish bands, like the spin off of Suede. Like that. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And they said, well, how would you like to introduce on stage. The Liam Gallagher band, what were they called?
BDI.
I said, I'm not bothered, thanks. They said, oh, okay. Shay, because you could have introduced the other band that was on that night. I said, who's the other band? And they went, it's The Who. I said, I'll do it. So I got to go on stage, and I was doing the talk of, oh, guys, it's such an honour to introduce The Who. And there are all these gobby people in the audience, right? And this bloke in the front went, you're not a real Who fan. I said, I beg your pardon. He said, you're not a real Who fan. Name a Who song that isn't an obvious one. I went in there, Cyril, straight away with Goodbye. I went in there with Goodbye Sister Disco, right?
All right, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. He went, nah, that's too famous. I went, right, have some of this. And then I started singing Bucket Tea.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, that one. Yeah, that Bucket Tea from the Ready Steady Who EP from 1965. That shut him up.
He probably didn't.
I out-hooed him. And then later on that evening, Cyril, here we go. Picture the scene. The Royal Albert Hall, okay? There's how does it happen? Let's say 5,000 people. They're all there. They're all waiting, okay? They've seen BDI. Let's be honest, they're not a particularly good band, okay? So I walk out. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the stage not just one of the best rock and roll bands in the world,
the best
rock and roll band in the world, The Who! The Who came out on stage. I introduced The Who on stage at the Royal Albert Hall.
And your feelings?
Oh, mate, it was a... I'll be honest, there was a delay of about 2 minutes of them coming out, OK?
Right, yeah.
But in that meantime, I went backstage, and I'd been backstage all night, and I'd seen them walking around, but I hadn't spoken to them. And I was just kind of stood there, and the crowd were waiting. They were building up the tension. Townsend walked past me, and I love The Who. Townsend walked past me, and I went, oh, Pete Townsend walked past me. He took two steps back, touched me on the arm, gave me the thumbs up, and went, nice one, mate.
Yeah.
I was like, yes!
Brilliant.
I will have some of that!
Brilliant.
Cyril,
brilliant.
Listen, thank you very much indeed. So we've got a full Men Who, ladies and gentlemen, off The Who eating food.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Paul. Celebrities, were you eating or was the celebrity eating?
Both. What was the Trust House Forte Hotel in Milton Keynes? I'm going back about 30 years ago.
And they're all such classy places. That's what's amazing.
I tell you.
Yeah.
My wife kept on looking over my shoulder. I wondered what was going on. So I turned around and Christopher Reeve and Gene Hackman were eating behind us.
Come on, guys.
Because they were filming Superman in Milton Keynes.
It's Superman and Lex Luthor. He was Lex Luthor, wasn't he, Gene Hackman?
He was,
and Lex Luthor were having... What were the enemies eating?
I have no idea. That was 30 years ago.
Man.
Probably a prawn cocktail followed by a gatto.
Oh, man. And because people forget how big Christopher Reeve was. You know, I mean, Gene Hackman's always been a legend, but Christopher Reeve was a super... Did your wife, did she go a little bit weak at the knees when she saw the Superman?
I think she did, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I thought it was me, you know.
It never is, Paul. Not you personally. I mean, for men in general. Lee's on the line. I know you've taken this to the streets,
Gus. Oh, it's a good one.
Let's hear from Lee. Morning, Lee.
Morning.
We've had all four members of The Who. We've had Superman. We've had his nemesis, Lex Luthor. What have you got for us?
Well, this will probably top the lot, actually.
Oh, but here we go. Fighting talk.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I was in London, Knightsbridge, not far from Harrods. So, you know, you can imagine a lot of famous celebrities around there. But
lots of celebs.
I actually saw, you won't believe it, I saw Jane McDonald eating an ice cream.
That has topped a lot for me.
Never!
Really?
Well, it wasn't just... I mean, I noticed the ice cream first because it was my favourite. It was an oyster with nuts and juice.
Now, listen, there are kids listening, Lee, who don't know what an oyster with nuts and juice is. And in the 70s...
It sounds filthy.
In the 70s, my mum's favourite ice cream, when Mr Whippy came around, I'd always get a... is it a screwball?
Yeah, I have those with a bubbly gum on the bottom.
I'd get a screwball and my mum would always go and chomp down on an oyster. Kids don't know what that means. They think I'm being rude. I'm not. It was a really weird ice cream, like in a sort of...
Like a sandwich.
Yeah, it was like in a sort of clam shell.
Exotic.
And it was an oyster.
You can still get them now. Yeah, they're lovely.
In Knightsbridge.
Well,
Jay McDonald keeping it real. Can I just say...
I didn't realise it was there. I saw the oyster first.
Can I just say, I've met Jay McDonald... She's one sexy lady.
Fit.
Honestly, there are some women that you kind of, you think, but when you meet them, they ooze sexuality.
The aura.
You know why?
They don't ooze Kiora.
No, aura.
Oh, sorry, I do apologise.
She's a show
woman.
Well,
she went up in my estimation when I saw the oyster. I thought, yes.
Okay, leave the oyster alone.
He's obsessed by that oyster, isn't he?
Honestly, she is a sexy lady.
Showbiz.
It's just something you can't put your finger on it. Well... Let's get something back to the oyster. well added, Kelly. That was a great addition to the podcast. Thank you.
Thanks.
We have fun, don't we, guys?
We have great fun.
Great bants.
Do you want to say something about a Friday show?
Not really.
This might have happened. But it probably didn't. But this did.
No, that didn't happen. This did.
Did it happen, though, Justin? Did it?
Well, if I heard it, yes, it did happen.
If you didn't...
It didn't.
This didn't happen, though.
Is it OK if I lit a squirrel today?
No, it's not. On that bombshell, we say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this free download from BBC Three Counties Radio, your local radio station for Beds, Hearts and Bucks, on FM, AM, digital radio, and online at bbc.co.uk/threecounties.